we're back after a 2-week break, giving us some much needed rest.
Relaxation.
Yeah, some R&R.
Mm.
And we're kicking off spring with Springtime with Sigourney.
Yes.
It's going to be a lot more relaxing than Nick Cage films, right?
Yeah, I wish I had like a bird sound effect that could be like tweet, 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 tweet for Springtime with Sigourney. Yeah.
That's a good way to do it. Like, describe it, yeah. Nick Cage is like,
oh! You know, exactly.
That's what I think the neurotic Nick Cage.
Yeah, just yeah. Screaming.
Like, I just picture Gone in 60 Seconds when he does this, the song. And I'm yeah. like, that's Nick Cage. There's Sigourney is just like, chill. Like, yes. She's just
like,
there.
I feel like she's just got like calculated characters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's completely different yeah. than before. So that's exciting.
Yeah, her character's always like stoic, they seem like. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're like kind of, they're a bit proud. They're smart. They like I said, calculating. Like,
yep.
She doesn't do stuff just because she has emotion towards it. It's right. got a reason.
Mm-hmm.
At least these are the films that I've seen of with Sigourney. We will see if that is the case.
See if it expands your Sigourney bubble.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. But to start, we actually, you know, it would have been like, you know, use her first big role. Alien. Well, we already right. did that one.
We did that.
So we took Aliens.
The next best thing.
Yeah. So we're going to get started with this. Let me do the synopsis. After floating in space for 57 years, Lieutenant Ripley's shuttle is found by a deep space salvage team. Upon arriving at LV-426, the Marines find only one survivor, a 9-year-old girl named Newt. But even these battle-hardened Marines with all the latest weaponry are no match for the hundreds of aliens that have invaded the colony.
I love that they say all the latest weaponry.
All the latest, yeah.
All the latest okay. weaponry. One
so
of them is a flamethrower.
Basically the same shit we have now.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Shit hasn't
you got
changed
a flame
for
thrower.
Like 30 years.
Shit don't change.
Shit don't change. Good.
Now, see, I hadn't seen this. Tim has, right?
Yeah. Aliens? Of course I have.
You watched all of the Alien films after we watched Alien.
Yep. That's accurate. Yeah.
I specifically remember you telling us that.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
It was cool. It was only in October of 2020.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sam has not seen Aliens either.
Really?
Correct.
I'm Adam.
I was How waiting to
like,
see.
You, but you like Prometheus and stuff. How did yeah. you not see like Aliens?
I don't know. I just never. So it took me. I think we talked about this in Alien, but it took me a while to see the original. Because I was so enamored with like the new ones that I was like, oh, I sure. don't know if I need to go back. And then I did mm-hmm. finally, and the first time I watched it, I was like, this is kind of meh. I'm not sure I liked it. And then the second time I watched it, I was like, wait, this is really good. Mm-hmm. And so I think what happened was I stunted myself because I was like, oh, well, the original's meh. So I just don't need to go through that whole slot. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah, you're like, oh, it's dated. It's boring. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for me, I never saw Alien growing up. Like Alien, watching it for the podcast was my first time. And I think before yeah. we started like watching the podcast, I would say anything before 1990 was a stretch for me to watch if it wasn't like a like, comedy.
Yeah.
I just was like, I had no hope for, I don't know, like set designs. I just assumed everything was cheesy outside of Star Wars.
Which was also
yeah,
cheesy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, it was.
I mean, like cheesy visuals.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I know people have problems with the new ones because they're kind of like, especially the Alien versus Predator, where it's like.
That's a different thing, yeah.
Yeah, the Alien versus Predator thing, I can see why there's a lot of hate towards it. They're not great films. Like the first one was okay, but it's like now you're getting too deep into like the lore of the Alien and that ruins it for a lot of people, which yeah. I understand. But I also like the aspect of like them being a weapon or something that were, you know,
yeah.
but where did they come from before then or, you know, stuff like that. But so I'm a big fan of basically the Alien series and then the Predator series, but not together. And then I like the new movies of the Aliens. I'm still waiting for the next Alien movie. Like, it's come
a,
on.
Yeah.
Isn't it a TV show?
I think so.
Everything's a TV show.
Yeah. That's where they're swinging.
I just think
days.
That won't feel good as a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
If I
the
could
pacing
spell,
will be set off.
I spelled it wrong. I spelled,
you spelled
a line.
Alien wrong.
I my left finger moved.
Put a Y.
It is. I don't know when it's coming out.
I don't know. It's supposed to come out, you know, years ago or years from now. Or
I'm pretty sure we talked about it during our first episode about.
I think we did.
We probably did. And there's still been no movement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an upcoming sci-fi horror. Well, anyways.
Apart from Alien, I knew of Sigourney from Holes and Galaxy Quest. And sure.
Have you seen it?
When I was little, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And Pandora, like the
Avatar.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is that called? What is that franchise?
Oh, and and when she does her voiceover in Finding Dory.
Yeah, Finding Dory too. They talk about Sigourney Weaver.
It's like such a small role. See, just for the listeners, we did not like we have picked all of our Sigourney Weaver films. And if she was a stretch on a side character, like where it was close to being a main character, we allowed that. But like if she just had like a cameo, we did not include that in our options.
She wasn't really in it much, but yeah.
Yeah, like I've seen Ghostbusters since I was a kid, but my brain
doesn't. You forget she's in there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because she's not a Ghostbuster.
Exactly. Right, yeah, it's not, yeah, but she's a big part of the movie. Like a main
character.
Yeah, what's funny is I remember Rick Moranis.
Mm.
But
well, yeah.
Rick Moranis is just a memorable person.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was a child. I haven't seen Ghostbusters since I was a kid.
Same.
Dun, dun, dun. So this will be interesting because somebody may have put that on their list.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But dude, so in Aliens, Tim, did you recognize Burke?
Yeah. I had to think about who that was. That was Lieutenant, yeah.
No, not the lieutenant. Burke.
Oh,
was
I'm
like,
sorry. He's not the lieutenant. Burke is the scientist guy that is like a fucko.
Yeah. He's the fucko.
The company man.
Yeah. So he is in Whiplash, the dad. Like Miles Teller's dad.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking weird.
Because he's that is so weird. Young in this movie.
He's 30.
He looks
in this
so
one.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sitting here like, how did they get Paul Reiser to look like Bradley Cooper? He had like this weird, like, there was like a weird, like, version like way he would be sitting and I'd be like he kind of looks like Bradley Cooper or Bradley Cooper kind of looks like him
yeah that would probably be more accurate
yeah
right
but I was so excited for his character at first because I was like this guy seems like he's actually got enough weight behind his title where he can do good and then he's not good
yeah
well no there's no way he's lying to her face the whole time and you can tell from the beginning of my opinion.
I couldn't
I didn't like, notice
what
that
the fuck?
Maybe it's just because I've seen it, but like,
yeah,
I don't trust people that are just like straight up like
wearing
collars. No, we're going to do exactly that. Or no, you're right. You know what I mean? They're just complete yes men. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that.
Well, when he really tricked me when he sided with her about basically if they shoot their proton weapons, they were going to cause a nuclear reaction.
Yeah. He didn't want to die or lose the specimen.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think he looked sus, but I thought, Brink? Is his name Brink? The android.
Bishop. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Bishop was sus because Bilbo Baggins was sus.
And Michael Fassbender is sus.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Like,
all androids are sus.
Yeah. Except for
they
Bishop.
They always are.
Yeah.
Except
Bishop's
for
Bishop's the only one that's like the cog in the wheel.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't have time to be bad.
I know.
Right? He's got to save everybody's ass.
There are moments where you're like, because they're like, Bishop. And he's just like, and you're like, okay, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
But well, there's a couple moments like that. But otherwise, he's very just like, yeah, I'm programmed to be this way. Like,
I know.
I'm legit.
They, I think the one scene, like when he's calling like the helicopter, the spaceship down, not the helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. Is he going to purposely fuck things up? Because he's like got his own mission. Cause
yeah, he's in charge of something now.
Yeah, Bilbo Baggins and Michael Fassbender, they really fucked with my head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, it was really well written to do that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
He, at one point, instead of using a microscope, the actor convinced James Cameron, which by the way, James fucking Cameron did this film.
Yeah.
Not Ridley Scott.
Mm-hmm.
But he put a weird contact lens in instead of using the microscope to look at the specimens and would turn and James Cameron couldn't use it because he's like, I'm going to be honest. He looks scarier than the xenomorphs.
That's amazing. Pretty good.
I was just, nice, man. But yeah, James Cameron.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting him to do it. I figured it would just be another Ridley Scott. And then it's interesting. Like, I think this one is very similar to the first one in, like, feel, which I wasn't sure would happen with James Cameron doing it. But then at the same time, I also kind of feel like Michael Bay directed this film because there's, like, a shit ton of explosions.
There's a lot more effects in this one than the original.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, they upped the visual effects budget so much for them. And then when James Cameron goes to show the first clip to the studio, they're like, where's all your visual effects that we paid for? Like, we're seeing realistic stuff. Like, where's all this VFX?
He's like, hold up, let me put some lightning bolts in.
And then, and then, you know what's funny was the visual effects guys took that because most of it was all done in post. It was all visual effects, and the visual that team was like high fiving because like we literally tricked the studio into thinking we used real shit.
Nice. Real sets,
yeah. I was like, nice.
Yeah.
They did win an Oscar for that.
Oh, right. There you go.
And they also won an Oscar for sound effects.
That makes sense.
And fucking, she, Sigourney Weaver was nominated for an Oscar for this role.
Let her go.
First time a sci-fi actress was, an actress for from a sci-fi role.
So I take it she didn't get nominated for Alien?
Correct. Yeah, there is a whole bunch of shit that went down with getting her onto this movie.
Oh.
Because contract disputes were kind of wild back in the 70s and 80s. Like, it kind of stemmed from finally breaking off of basically being owned by a production company.
Mm-hmm.
So people were less likely to sign on for like 4 movies.
Gotcha.
So she didn't sign on for a sequel originally.
Oh.
So the studio didn't actually reach out to her to reprise her role as Ripley.
Oh my God.
And James Cameron, like a couple days into it. So he started the script and then he's like, hey, I got to go do Terminator. Be right back. Comes back and he's like, wait, you guys haven't talked to fucking Sigourney Weaver? Let me just text her. Not text her, but let me fax her over script.
Send her a carrier pigeon.
She's interested in it. And the studio is like, she's just too expensive for us and we can't have her.
Oh my God.
So James Cameron's like, okay, if you guys don't fucking figure this shit out by the time I get back from my honeymoon, I'm walking. Because there's no way we can do Aliens without Sigourney Weaver.
I love that. Right. Look at him.
And then
it's amazing.
It gets even, he bluffed so hard with this. He gets back, they did jack shit because the studio doesn't want to pay for her and she doesn't want to come down in price.
Okay.
So he's like, he gets on the phone with, he just informally calls Arnold Schwarzenegger's agent.
Okay. Yeah.
Who is like in the same building as Sigourney Weaver's agent. He knows this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he's like, yeah, you know, like if she's not going to sign on, I think like the studio, like I'm going to have to talk to the studios and we're going to have to cut Ripley out of the story.
Oh my God.
So word
got her.
No. Word got to the studios and word got to Sigourney Weaver. And within like a few days, she had signed up with
that's amazing. Like
getting paid fairly for her
like
role in it. And he's like, I was never going to cut her out of the movie. Yeah.
That was the real bluff.
Yeah.
That's what he was saying. Like, he's like, the bluff was if she doesn't sign on, this film is probably getting canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. Like, James fucking Cameron. He did one movie. Like, one big movie.
Titanic?
No, Terminator. The fuck? Titanic came out like 10 years later.
Titanic?
At the point. At the
sounds about right to me. We'll go with it. Titanic it was.
But he had like, he got into like arguments with the, because Ridley Scott is English. And they did the first film in England. And he got into fights with the production studio because all of them just saw him as like this mediocre director because Terminator shit the bed in England.
Oh.
So that it didn't do well in England. So they saw him as this like kind of shitty director compared to Ridley.
Wow. Mm.
And now he's like a director that if somebody's like hears that he's making a movie,
they're like, wow, that guy that did Titanic's making a movie.
Yeah. No. But what I'm saying is people are trying to get into film with him.
Well, yeah. And he followed his Sigourney Weaver line all the way through.
Yeah, into Avatar.
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
Yeah.
I didn't quite get there.
And I'm just like, game over, man. Game over.
Game over, man.
Bill Paxton improvised so that line.
Oh, yep. My God.
And he did most of his goofy ass lines were improv.
It was all him, and it just fits so well.
That makes a lot of sense, because at a certain point, I'm just giggling by how many times he's like, come on, man.
Come on, man.
Yeah, come on,
man. Like, come on.
Come on.
You're just like, oh, my gosh.
It would feel overwhelming if it just wasn't delivered right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because somebody was just like, come on, man. But he would do like this, like, come on, man.
He had this like weird, like it was like an accent, but it wasn't. It was just like,
yeah, I don't know what certain... he was, just some kind of inflection in his voice that he was changing.
Yeah.
He was a goofy guy.
One of his quotes that I loved is he's like, I don't know. You tell me, I just work here.
Yeah.
You're like, that's so relatable.
It really is.
Was it him or the sergeant that it was the sergeant, I think, that yelled assholes and elbows?
Yeah.
And yes. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, what does that even mean? Right. What are you trying to apply? They had a couple of liners. I can't remember it now. He had one too. They said something. I was like, maybe that was something at the current time.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm not really catching on to these.
This definitely got lost in age.
Yeah. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Dude, the sergeant who is played by Al Matthews, he was an actual sergeant in the Marines.
Oh,
that's awesome.
He was the first black sergeant in the U.S. Marines, which
that's
is
awesome.
And he came and became a space marine sergeant.
Yeah.
So maybe assholes and elbows really is well. Like his own thing.
Yeah.
That could be. Yeah.
Yeah. And if he was raised east of the Mississippi, he trained right down next to us.
That's true.
Kind of weird.
I liked that.
Well, I'm pretty sure he was the direct reference for, I can't remember the sergeant's name in Halo.
Dude, okay. Lieutenant Johnson. Or Sergeant Johnson?
Sergeant Johnson, yeah.
Okay, because that's who I felt that was. Like, I was like,
I'm pretty sure he literally is that character.
Yeah, because
that's who they based him off of.
Because he 100% sounds like that, like the character.
Yeah, he
in
sounds
Halo.
Exactly like him. He acts like him, has the cigar. Like, yeah.
Dude, fucker wakes up from hypersleep. Has a cigar in his hand already.
That's what I was going to say. Like, he has a cigar constantly for, like, I don't know, the first half of the movie.
That was something in action movies that happened a lot, though.
I know.
Just walked around with cigars.
like Arnold, really? Arnold had them all the time, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's who I was picturing. He had them all the time. Maybe but the thing is, a lot of those guys smoked them, so it was like they implemented it into the character because...
Hey, can you add cigars into my character?
Yeah.
Like, what about cigars?
When it fits, it fits.
Well, just like cigars, man.
Yeah.
The other thing that struck out to me besides the cigars is like when they first land, fucking Ripley's walking around with like no weapon. Like, I'm sorry, but like I would ask to have a weapon.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, what the fuck, girl? Get you something.
Dude.
Yeah.
Well, and I was laughing because like it, the one issue, I don't know if it's an issue. I think it's if you don't watch them back to back and you have 4 years, 3.5 years in between when you watched it, it feels like the alien in the first one was impossible to kill.
Yes.
And then in this one, they just
blazed through them.
Yeah. It makes them seem weaker. And I was like thinking, I was like, they were not a Marine crew. They were a scientific crew. They didn't have weaponry.
That is true.
So it makes more sense.
The line, the up-to-date weapons
or
whatever.
Exactly, that's what I was going
to
say.
It fits because they were able to shred them, right?
But, yeah.
Yeah, no, she didn't have weapons on her ship necessarily.
I know. So it's like you if you watch them too far apart and you don't think about it, you're like, wasn't this thing like indestructible?
Yeah,
well, yeah, but... Now there's guns and flamethrowers.
Lots of flamethrowers.
So, And they had that little motion detector, which was an amazing like plot device.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because like in the horror aspect of this, you're hearing the beep, beep, beep.
It's like Jaws.
Yeah,
exactly.
Same thing.
It was such a good like thing to add into the film.
Yep.
Yeah.
What did you think of the little girl?
Newt. Ripley.
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 Something.
Yeah, I won't ruin what happens, but yeah.
Oh, what? Something happens?
The next movie.
Oh, no. Well, I don't know. I mean, I thought the one scene where she was in the water and the alien comes up and like spins behind her, I was like, oh, that was sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not really about her. That was more about how they did the scene. But I don't know. She was fine.
She was fine. It wasn't annoying.
Yeah.
She fit the movie.
She did.
She was a child.
She didn't ruin scenes.
Right. Yeah.
And child acting in the 80s and 90s could easily do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, she did purposely ruin some scenes, one scene in particular.
Oh, yeah.
Because she wanted to keep writing. When she falls down the chute,
mm-hmm.
she kept messing up the lines so she could write it down like a slide. And James Cameron finds out that she's just doing it to enjoy it. He's like, yeah. I will let you ride this all day if we can just finish this
scene.
Like,
we need to finish the scene.
It's an 8-year-old logic here. Yeah. You're like,
yeah.
Why finish when I do now? And she actually did.
Right.
And he like held up that.
Nice.
I would say, yeah, it'd be shitty if he didn't.
Yeah. The other thing that was, I guess the only thing so far that was disappointing to me was that there was not enough Jonesy in this one. He doesn't get to come with her like the first part of the movie. I was like, I could just watch her pet a cat for an hour and a half. Like, I'm cool with that. That could be this movie.
Right.
And then she's like, you're not coming with me. And I'm like, but he saved your ass last time. Like, what the hell? How are you going to survive?
Sam forgot that. She asked me where the cat was.
Yeah, I got really
sad. At the end, she's like, where's the cat? I'm like, still in her apartment.
Still chilling.
Yeah.
Living his best life.
They apparently, in her apartment, they show her bathroom for a second. They bought a bathroom from an airplane to make it like look like she lives in confined quarters.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
They actually bought like an old airplane toilet.
That's kind of cool.
Wow.
I know. It looks futuristic, man.
That's what I was going to say. Like, it probably does.
The future seems kind of grim.
Yeah.
The future where instead of having one gun that can shoot a flamethrower, grenades, and bullets, we just duct tape them together.
Yeah.
You know it worked out, funny enough. Why not? The other thing I found interesting was the welder and the cutting tool was the most important thing in the whole fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They're like welding everything shut constantly. They're cutting doors.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something you think like, oh shit, I need a welder or a cutting tool.
Hell yeah, you do.
Hell yeah, you do.
Apparently, you do.
Game over, man. Game over.
Game over, man. Game over.
I lied earlier when I said that I only had one beef. My other beef was when they're first like coming back, I guess, to the like car or the space station or whatever, they have the one chick who's wearing sunglasses for no reason, and then there's somebody in there with her, and they're in the spaceship and they're driving the car back to the spaceship, right?
Okay.
And the mm-hmm. alien is in there, and I'm like, how the fuck did the alien get in there? Did you guys just leave the hatch open the whole time? Like, why would somebody not think
they literally did?
Why not close it? Like, I was just like,
plus them bitches are sneaky.
That's true, they are sneaky.
They are like cats. They're made of liquid.
But I was like, come on, guys. Nobody thought, like, I should close that up just in case.
I mean,
don't know how long they're going to be.
The fucking alien queen at the end.
She's very sneaky.
Yeah, she fucking latched
She's
on.
She's very sneaky.
Also, let's just laugh about how the actual model for the alien queen did not fit in that elevator.
I know.
They had to remove her back half.
I'm not surprised by that. She's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
the queens are cool.
I knew about the alien queen, and I knew about the fight scene with the mech suit that
the James, lifter.
Yeah, that James Cameron eventually uses in Avatar.
yep.
I knew about that because of Bob's Burgers. They do an episode, like they do one of those episodes where they like.
I think I know what you're talking about.
The kids all do
tell a story.
They tell a story, and there's somebody does aliens, probably Louise.
Probably.
I think so.
Yeah, I knew about that scene from, like, isn't it also in, like, Endgame or whatever?
Probably.
Like, Tom Holland, like, does a thing with aliens in one of the
Avengers. Oh, he does. Yeah, but that's a different, he's talking about a different movie. A different Aliens movie.
Oh.
But that might actually be the third one. I can't remember if it's the third or the fourth. I think it's the third one. And then the fourth. Yeah. But he talks about because they punch a hole in the ship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to ruin what happens in that one.
So Sam,
you guys haven't seen it.
Sam really wanted to watch Spider-Man Homecoming because he was making movie references in Infinity War.
Yeah. I was like, sign me up.
Yeah. He makes like two or three. Yeah.
He does. He makes a couple. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Doctor Strange. Oh, we're using made up names. I'm Spider Man.
Yeah, I'm Spider Man.
But I don't know. Like the lifter scene was like less epic than I wanted it to be. It was like super slow. And then I was like, oh. Yeah. And I think it's also because it's parodied so many of them times that you're like, oh, this is probably some epic scene, and like. It's kind of not until she like opens the gasket and then she's just like space litter.
Yeah. That's what Sam said was space litter.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it though. Like her shoe comes off conveniently instead of her whole leg because that queen was strong. I'm like,
yeah. I know.
I'm not also, sure that that
space
would work
is strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. In that yeah. I never understand that in movies. It's like, how are you hanging on?
Right.
Like,
no, you can't. You're not.
Yeah.
Also, the reduction in oxygen in that would cause you to.
It's just instant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything is just instant. Your body can't handle that. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I don't understand how. I don't know. Movies are weird.
Well, this is the 80s. Maybe space has become.
Space was slower back then.
Yeah. It was more slow.
In James Cameron's version, it is.
Yeah.
So James Cameron, not an expert on space. Now the water.
Exactly.
That man set a record for deep sea diving or whatever.
Out of his element, but even though space isn't an element, I'm going for it.
It kind of is.
I'm not going to say it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, after he did this, he did The Abyss.
I don't know what the fuck that is. Another ocean movie?
Yeah. It is an ocean movie. And then he does Titanic, an ocean
movie.
He just
likes water. Okay.
Avatar.
Yeah.
Not an ocean movie. Avatar 2, ocean movie. He likes the water.
He apparently does.
Because he's James Cameron, explorer of the sea. Sorry. Yeah. South Park.
So what do you guys, how do you feel about the noises the aliens made?
The baboon noise?
Like the first one didn't have a ton of noises, I feel like. But
yeah,
compared to this one.
The alien noise apparently is... They took the scream, a baboon. They took a baboon screen and fucked with it in post.
See, I thought it was I always thought it was an elephant.
I could see.
I think.
You can kind of hear, it sounds like them go, you know, but they like make it higher pitched and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Baboons kind of scream like that too.
Yeah, they do.
But I think an elephant, isn't it, is it used for, no, a lion's roar is partially used in Jurassic Park.
Mm,
yeah.
T-Rex.
For Roberta.
Well, I thought
it's wild.
I thought it fit in this movie.
It worked
like
for me.
The sound of it. I think it would have been weirder in the first one because it was like super quiet. And like this one has quiet parts, like when they first land, like you can feel the tension. But otherwise, with all the shooting and blowing up and stuff, I was like, I don't know. Their screeching makes sense. Why does it bug you, Tim?
No, I like it. The only thing that's weird to me is that they breathe.
Yeah,
because there's times where the queen was like breathing really heavily or something. Some can't remember which one. And I was like, but they can survive in space.
Yeah.
Why are they like breathing? Like,
why are they heavy breathing?
Yeah.
That
she's
I don't
doing
know.
A lot of work. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen how many eggs she poops out a day?
Yeah, that's a lot.
I mean, one of them's in the Smithsonian to this day.
Oh, really? That's funny.
I think it was at least in the Smithsonian at some point.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because they have like a whole film section.
Yep.
But they did win a sound effects Oscar as well.
For the breathing.
Just for the breathing.
For the breathing.
And the screaming and the doors.
Yeah, the doors.
Oh, yeah,
are great.
There you go.
Doors are my favorite thing about doors in movies. You shoot the control panel, it opens. You shoot the control panel, it closes.
Yeah, I don't understand that. It's like it would just break the control panel.
Yeah.
It wouldn't do anything. Like, maybe it would do some kind of input. I doubt it, but
yeah, because it's gonna do one or the other. It's never gonna do both.
Right?
Because like it could be seen as a fire hazard. A fire hazard on a spaceship. That seems weird.
But true.
But like, you know, like a security thing where everything needs to be open or it needs to close because of security. But it wouldn't be able to do both. Like if a movie does both, that's where it's like, no.
Yep.
It's no already, but it's extra no if it's both.
Right.
If that makes sense. I agree, Tim. I'm like, I make the joke because I think Star Wars does it the most.
Probably.
A lot.
They so much. Or R2-D2 just zaps his way in.
Yep.
Which is insane to me that all spaceships in Star Wars have the exact same input, you know? Like, just think about how many cords we have to this day.
I know. True. And then all these ships use the same dongle.
Exactly. Sorry. We're not talking about Star Wars here. We're talking about aliens.
Yeah.
For reals. Oh, so the alien queen is now a Disney queen. By the way.
Nice.
I like it.
After the whole acquisition.
She's the evil queen.
Ayo. I heard that this movie saved 20th Century Fox.
Oh.
Yeah. They were not doing too great at the time. And this movie brought a shitload of money in.
Huh.
Yeah. Which is wild. Like, I didn't think like back in the 80s that sequels outside of Star Wars were like driving film a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know though, because like James Bonds aren't sequels though.
Yeah, they're not sequels. There's a different story every time.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're connected, like when they're the same person playing the character, but otherwise.
Otherwise, it's like
they're just different missions, right? They're not, different stories and everything.
Alrighty. So, aliens. Tim, I think you should go first since you've seen this film. You flipping it on
in number of times.
Where are you going to place it? First time in the Sigourney Weaver 10.
Number one.
Okay. Is that a flip on or a flip off? You know,
flip on.
Okay. I was getting concerned there. Any reason why? No. Nope. Just like
I
it.
Mean, I, other than like, it's one of the best. I mean, the Alien series, in my opinion, is one of the best and most like well done first film with consecutive sequels that they do taper off, but each one feels unique and they're all really good in my opinion. And I don't know. I just have a love for them. I love monster movies. I love space stuff. I love sci-fi. Like, and it kind of wraps it all together. Horror movies. Like the first one, we've talked about this before. I mean, I love the fact that I was scared as a kid when I watched it.
Yeah.
You know, it freaked me out, kept me up. And this one, not so much, but,
cause they
I wish they were a little, huh?
Because they were killable in this one.
Exactly. And that's why I was like, I was about to say they needed to be less killable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I would flip it on. I guess I would say number one too right now. Cause
nice.
Not number two, number one as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Not 12, 1-2. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be my main gripe, Tim. That they just seem killable after the first one where they seem unkillable. And then I don't know where number three takes us.
We'll find out later.
Yeah, that might be on the list as well. yeah, I enjoyed it, though. I thought it was well-written, and Ripley's character is honestly one of the best protagonists in a film. I'm just saying, the character just feels like she belongs in the universe. Like, Sigourney Weaver...
She fits very well.
Yeah, and she is so quick-thinking. Like, she's stuck in that room. Can't get anybody to pay attention, looks up, it's like, shit, fire alarm, like, sprinkler system, puts a flame up to it.
Right.
Like, she's just...
Yeah, so her character is really well done, and then she does it really well.
Yeah, like, she just nails this character. And I'm very excited to see, like, how it goes, because, like, we have an array of films. Like, we have a lot of different genres coming at us. This season. It's not like Nick Cage where half of them were still kind of action-y.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. Sam?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to flip it on. And what? I am too going to put it at number one. I would say if I'm comparing this to other Sigourney Weaver films, like I haven't watched any, but I have to assume it'll be pretty high because
yeah,
I just like this franchise and I thought it was well done. But if I'm comparing it to other films in the Alien franchise, I would probably opt for either the original or Alien Covenant, because those are like Covenant's my top one.
Sam's obsessed with Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
And there are two Michael Fassbenders in that film.
Exactly.
Oh my God, right? But it's so good.
I know. Yeah. I'm just making a joke.
I could talk for hours about that movie.
Yeah. I like it
Prometheus
too.
A lot too. But.
Yeah.
I like them too. It's just fun to poke Sam about that.
Yeah. So like, I don't know.
It is funny that that's one of your like, hey, do you want to watch Covenant?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Shit, we got home from fucking Germany and whatnot. And Sam's like, you guys want to watch Alien Covenant?
Yeah.
And we did.
It's so good.
I mean, it's a classic. So, yeah, like, I don't know. It's just hard to, I guess, like, dethrone those in my mind, like, both the newer ones and the old one. Like, this one, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just like, ooh, if I'm going to go for the Alien franchise, I probably won't pick it. But who's to say? I mean, I got to watch the rest of them so I can fully rank them all.
The rest of one.
Yeah, the rest of one.
Mm-hmm.
So this film was rated by the critics at a 98%.
Woo!
Audience giving it 94%. So compared to like Alien, it was like 93, 94. And then IMDb gave it an 8.4 out of 10.
That's high.
And the original was an 8.5 out of 10. So like it stuck with it.
Yeah.
It did really well.
Yeah.
I will say it was nominated for 7 Oscars in total, winning 2 of them.
Nice.
Which is impressive for a sci-fi film in the 80s after Star Wars kind of helped a bit. I know 2001 A Space Odyssey, but that's like early 70s, late 60s.
Sure.
I can't remember. And I feel like that's a different vibe.
Definitely.
But moving on to next week, we're going to see another Sigourney Weaver. Dun, da, da, da.
Springtime. With Sigourney.
Going with Sam's pick first.
Wow, I'm first up. This never happens.
Heartbreakers.
What the fuck? I don't even know which movie.
Oh,
that
I remember
is.
This one. This is Sam is very excited for this one, or very excited for Tim for this one.
Okay.
So you guys are gonna have to tune in next week and hang out with Sigourney.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I know what this is.
For what it's worth, we could not get a hold of Sigourney like we could with Nick Cage. That's why she's not here with us.
Yeah.
Sad boops.
Wait, so next episode, are we going to explain to them how we picked the Sigourney films?
Yeah.
Okay. So you definitely got to tune in to figure that out. That's why you'll see why we're confused.
Yeah, it's more fun for me.
I just wanted to take a minute to thank you all for listening to us. We're so grateful that every 5 to 7 of you decides to tune in with us on Thursdays at 1 p.m. It gets our little hearts to flutter. And we're so thankful that you're here. So let me just steal your ear for a few more minutes while I talk about some of our social media. Social media, we have it. We're on Instagram and that new thing called Threads. Although by the time you hear this, I don't know if it'll be new. Either way. The user handle is FlipperFlicks. Very easy, very simple. We also have a website called FlipperFlicks.com. You see the simple thing? We really like it. We like to try to make it as easy for you as possible. On the website, you can see our bios. Read a little bit more about the 2, 3, 5, 10. No, there's just 3 of us. Crazy people on this podcast. Read a little bit about us, the little amount we're willing to share with you. And read about some of the categories. Depending on the season, there's different categories. So if you missed one, but you think it sounds really excellent, you can go ahead and check it out and be like, crap, let me go look for that one in the episode titles. The last thing and most important thing on the website is that we do recommendations. There's a little contact form where you can throw us a bone, throw us a movie recommendation. We promise we will try to watch it in a timely manner. And yeah, once we watch it, we kind of link it to the website so you can see and come back to it and keep checking to make sure your recommendation got viewed and chit-chatted about. If you don't like the website angle or the social media angle, you can do the old school angle and you can email us, flipperflicks@gmail.com. That's right, we have the email. Go ahead and give us a recommendation or just write us a love letter about how much you enjoy our voices, or maybe you can write us a hate letter about how much you're like, God, you guys ramble too much, like get it together. Either way, we'll be happy to hear from you. What else? What else? Well, we would love for you to like and subscribe on whatever podcasting platform that you're listening to us right now. Like I said, we're very thankful you're here, so anything you can do to just let us know you're out there. We would really love it. Like, subscribe, review, and there's plenty of places you can do that. Apple, Spotify, Google. If you're listening to us right now, you kind of know where to do it. So we'll leave it in your hands to make sure it gets done. Also, if you haven't figured it out by now, we drop episodes every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So if you subscribe, you'll be able to tell right when the episode drops because it'll come into your queue. So please go ahead and do that so you can listen to our ramblings every week. We would be eternally grateful. That's it.